Good morning. We're very glad that you're listening to this morning worship from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches for Sunday the 17th of January. The service is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome to our worship. A child once dreamed the voice was calling his name, Samuel. Fishermen once heard the voice when a young man bid them follow. And still the voice beckons today. Can you hear? Moses protested vehemently as the voice spoke at the burning bush. Mary stood amazed as the voice proclaimed impending birth. And still the voice beckons today. Can you hear? The voice beckons from humble places, in the tears of hungry children, in the cries of the frail and frightened elderly, in the pleas of those whose dreams have been too long deferred. And still the voice beckons today. Can you hear? A timid believer pauses to listen to the voice. A struggling church hears the voice and turns. And still the voice beckons today. Can you hear? Come, let us respond to the voice. Let us follow where it leads. Come, let us worship God. Our first hymn, Will You Come and Follow Me If I But Call Your Name? Let us pray. When the good news is hard to find, knowing God, you swaddle us in your comforting hope so that we may decide to go wherever you call us to serve. When the good news is seen as fake, brother of our journey, you call us to speak of the truth that God offers grace to a world which has decided to believe in lies. When the good news seems out of fashion, Spirit of Wisdom, you weave kindness into a shawl for the lonely, you knit comfort for all who grieve. When your good news seems so rare, may we decide to share it more and more, God in community, Holy One. God of grace, In the days when your word was rarely heard and when visions were scarce, you broke into Samuel's life and called his name. And he said, "Here I am. Speak, for your servant is listening." We confess that often so many voices clamour for our attention that your word is again hard to hear. Forgive us if you have called us to be prophetic witnesses or to use our gifts to serve you, and we have not heard or have been unwilling to respond. Lord Jesus Christ, you met Philip and Nathanael on the road and said, "Follow me," and they did. We confess that we do not expect to meet you on the familiar roads we travel, and so we fail to discern your presence or your call on our lives. Holy Spirit, you empower us to recognize and to respond to the invitation of Jesus to follow him, even when that means travelling on unknown and unfamiliar paths. Merciful God, take from us all that hinders our hearing your voice, and fill us anew with the Holy Spirit, that we may joyfully respond to Jesus' call on our lives. Come and see. God's grace is poured out on everyone. God's hope is freely shared in every moment. Forgiveness is the gift which mends our foolish lives. Thanks be to God. We are surrounded by God's love and mercy, now and to the very end. Amen. And we join together in the Lord's Prayer in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and for ever. Amen. Do you know who is the kindest, most generous, hardest working person in the whole world? I do, and I'll tell you the name of that person in a moment. But I'll give you their initials now and see if you can guess who it is. Her or his initials are S-O-E. If dishes need to be washed, S-O-E will wash them. If the recycling needs to be taken out, S-O-E will do it. If there are errands to be run, S-O-E will run them. S-O-E will wash the car at a moment's notice. S-O-E will rake up the leaves or pull up the weeds. If the church needs money, S-O-E will give it. For any job that needs to be done, for any gift that needs to be made, you can rely on S-O-E. So do you know what SOE stands for? Someone else. It's rather a shame how we leave all the work, all the sacrifices, all the giving to SOE, to someone else. Let me tell you now about someone who has a real name. Her name is Susie, and she's 4 years old. She likes to think of herself as a big girl. She likes to do it by herself. She doesn't want any help at all. One day, Susie heard a Bible story about a boy named Samuel, who heard God call him. And Samuel replied, "Here I am, God. How can I help you?" Susie thought that was crazy. God need help? God doesn't need our help. Susie's right. God doesn't need our help. But God wants our help. How can we help God? By helping each other. God created us to live in community, and he wants us to do that well by helping each other. But like Susie, most people don't want to ask for help. They don't want to be seen as weak, as babies. They want to be big and strong and do it by themselves. And anyway, Susie thought, what can she do to help others? She's just a little child. Then Susie thought about the boy Samuel in the Bible story. So Susie started asking people how she could help them before they had to ask for help. She went and asked her mum how she could help her. She went and asked her dad how she could help him. Other people saw her do this, and then they started asking others how they could help, without waiting, without making others ask for help. Here I am. How can I help? Remember, you are never too young to help, and you are never too early to offer your help. Our next hymn is a setting of the 139th Psalm. O God, you have searched me and you know me.
A reading from the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. In those days, when the boy Samuel was serving the Lord under the direction of Eli, there were very few messages from the Lord, and visions from him were quite rare. One night, Eli, who was now almost blind, was sleeping in his own room. Samuel was sleeping in the sanctuary, where the sacred covenant box was. Before dawn, while the lamp was still burning, the Lord called Samuel. He answered, "Yes, sir," and ran to Eli and said, "You called me, and here I am." But Eli answered, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So Samuel went back to bed. The Lord called Samuel again. The boy did not know that it was the Lord, because the Lord had never spoken to him before. So he got up, went to Eli and said, "You called me, and here I am." But Eli answered, "My son, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." The Lord called Samuel a third time. He got up, went to Eli and said, "You called me, and here I am." Then Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to him, "Go back to bed, and if he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed. The Lord came and stood there and called as he had before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, your servant is listening." Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
This reading is taken from John chapter 1, verse 43 to 51. The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." Then he added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Thanks be to God for this reading.
Samuel got ready for bed. It was easy for him to find his way in the semi-darkness. The lamp of God was lit, and he had been at the temple since he was a small boy. His mother Hannah had brought him here. Samuel smiled when he thought of his mother. He missed her sometimes. What boy wouldn't? But he was proud that he had been promised by his mother to the Lord. Sometimes it got wearying, doing all the chores, carrying this and cleaning that. But Samuel loved the old man, and he hated the way Eli's sons treated him. They were supposed to be priests like their father, but they were scoundrels. They only cared about themselves. Samuel knew how to attend to the priest. He knew where everything was and how every ritual went. And that was good, because Eli was nearly blind. When the voice woke him in the night, Samuel thought there must be something wrong with the old man. Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am." But Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And Samuel obeyed. "I must have been dreaming," he thought, until he heard his name again. "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel hadn't gone back to sleep. It wasn't a dream. Surely this time it really was Eli. Again Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am." But Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." The third time it happened, Samuel was certain that it had to be Eli. "Here I am, for you called me," he said. But then Eli realized what was happening. He told Samuel what to do. When he went back to bed, Samuel heard the voice calling his name in the darkness, and he did as Eli told him and answered, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Andrew Young was a one-time close associate of Martin Luther King and a United Church of Christ minister in the USA. Young was delighted when his oldest daughter became active in her local church. With each deepening level of her involvement, he became more and more pleased. One day, however, she announced to her parents that she was going to join the Ministry of Habitat for Humanity and go to Uganda to build homes for the poor. This was not too many years after the fall of the dictator Idi Amin, and Uganda was still a very violent country. Young confessed, "I tried to talk her out of it. I mean, I wanted her to go to church, to find a nice Christian man to marry, to develop a relationship with God and settle down. But believe me, I didn't have anything like this in mind. I didn't intend for her to go so far with it. I mean, Uganda." But she said she felt called. What could I say? So parents, keep this in mind when you bring your children to church. You may not be prepared for the consequences. It can be dangerous to have your children hang out in the temple, because if they do, some day they might hear the voice of the Lord. Called. Who is called? Just what are the called to do? The greatest privilege in my previous role before I accepted the call to become minister of St. Andrew's and Wallington was to oversee the United Reformed Church's candidating process for ministry, with particular responsibility for the assessment conferences where people were accepted or not for ministerial training. It was something I had been greatly involved in previously as the convener of the Southwestern Synod's Ministries Committee and as a member of the URC's Assessment Board, whose members form the panels which make the decisions at the denominational assessment conferences. Twice a year, I would spend a weekend listening to people tell their stories of how God was active in their life and how they had heard a call. They were tiring and emotional weekends, but each time I went home, however tired I was, grateful. So grateful for the way I was blessed by hearing what God was doing and how folk were offering themselves for service. Was everyone accepted for training as a minister? No, they weren't. And they were the hardest decisions, where someone was convinced they were called, but others didn't seem to think so. Is it for the individual to decide if they have been called, and for everyone else to support that call? Our tradition says there needs to be an internal and an external call, the sense by an individual that God has called them, and the recognition by the wider church that this is indeed the case. Nathaniel had not yet heard about this Jesus of Nazareth. Who would have? Nazareth was the town down the road that was a joke. Nothing ever happened there. Besides, Nathaniel had his own fish to fry. He had his work and his faith. He worshipped and prayed as the God of the covenant had commanded. Nathaniel knew the scriptures, what the prophet said and what the law required. So it was a little bit hard to believe, actually very hard to believe, when Philip came running up all excited with his announcement, "We found him, the one that Moses said was coming, the one that the prophets wrote about. It's Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathaniel could hardly keep from laughing. "From Nazareth? You've got to be kidding, from Nazareth." "Come and see," Philip challenged him. So he went. As Nathaniel walked towards Jesus, Jesus said, "Here comes a true Israelite, not a false bone in his body." And Nathaniel knew that Philip was right. This man, this Jesus, from Nazareth of all places, this man was the one. "Rabbi," he said, you are the Son of God. Two stories of calling. One was a boy promised to God by his mother. The boy Samuel grew up to be a great prophet of Israel, a judge and priest. Samuel anointed the boy King David, the king from whose lineage would come the Messiah. When Samuel said, "Here I am," he didn't know where it would lead. But he listened and followed the God who called him by name. Samuel, the boy called by God, served the Lord until his death, and the scriptures tell us that when he died, all of Israel mourned for him. The second was a young man, a devout Jew, sceptical until he was seen and known by Jesus. Nathanael isn't heard from much in the Gospels. We know from John's account that he was called with Philip right after Jesus called Simon and Andrew. After that, we don't hear much about him. He was, I think, the one who works behind the scenes. He was like the person who tidies up on Sunday after church, like those who clean out the urn, who make sure the church grounds are tidy. Nathanael didn't know that following Jesus would lead to the cross. He didn't know that the one who knew him and called him by name would die a shameful, humiliating death. But he followed. Nathanael said yes, and we know that he was present with the others to see the risen Christ. Stories of call. Stories of ordinary people whom God called by name. Ordinary people called to do extraordinary things, and not one of them expecting it. Not one of them planning on it. Not one of them really prepared for it. We'd like to think it was otherwise. We'd like to think that God picks certain people out and there's something special about those people. Not like us. We're nothing special. God won't be calling us in the night or even in the middle of the day. So we're safe. We can go about our business, feeling secure that we're not qualified to be called by God. Who are we to stand up for righteousness, stand up for justice, stand up for truth? Why would God call any of us? Rowan Williams, the previous Archbishop of Canterbury, says that our ideas about vocation are dramatic, like casting a play, you might say. A very long and very good play with plenty of juicy parts in it. The nuisance is that he draws up the cast list before doing any auditions. We find ourselves called to fulfil a definite role, but we haven't actually seen the script. And as time goes on, we may suspect we would do better in another part. William says, it isn't that God looks down from heaven at a certain moment and just drops a vocation on you, as if he were utterly uninterested and involved in what's actually there. If we take seriously that God is faithful and doesn't change, we need to think of him speaking over and over again the same word to us, our true name, our real identity, and making us be over and over again in that speech of his, in his word. For God calls each of us by name, in different ways, on different days, to listen, to obey, to follow Christ. We may make the coffee, or fix the door to the Sunday school room, or teach in junior church, or make sure there's enough paper for the photocopier, or sweep up after the wedding. But we are called by name, whatever our ministry might be, and therein lies our vocation. Because our vocation is that place, as Frederick Buechner says, and something that was at the heart of my ministry for the past decade and more, as Frederick Buechner says, where our deep gladness meet the world's deep hunger. Where our deep gladness meets the world's deep hunger. It's not about particular work. It's not about making a living. It's about making a life worth living. It's about the moments in our lives. Moment after moment after moment, when we hear God calling us by name, when Jesus sees us and recognises us, when we sit in terror, wondering what we are going to do, and we simply say yes. We say, "Here I am. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." God calls each of us by name every day to listen. Jesus calls each one of us every day by name to follow him. We are called to stand up for righteousness, to stand up for justice, to stand up for truth. We are assured that God will be with us always. We are assured that no matter how small we are, or how little known we are, or how small our task may be, we are still called by name. We are not promised that we will be wealthy or successful, or that the way will be easy. We are assured that if we are suffering, Jesus is present with us in our sorrow. We follow a way that leads to the cross. But in the end, the same path leads beyond the cross, to the empty tomb and the glory of the risen Christ. We know that we can say, like the psalmist, "I come to the end. I am still with you." Thanks be to God. Our next hymn. Hushed Was the Evening Hymn.
Let us join in praying for the people of the world waiting to hear good news. Loving God, we pray for the states of America to be united in the days and weeks ahead. We pray for an end to violence, for wisdom and protection for President-elect Joe Biden and all who will take office in a few days' time. We pray for those threatening to disrupt the inauguration and for the police force and those entrusted with keeping the law and peace. Lord, hear our prayer and draw us all closer to you. We pray for those around the world at the mercy of extreme weather conditions. We pray for the people of Japan, of Indonesia, especially those rescue workers who died trying to save others, for those bereaved in the plane crash, for those in our own country without power and heat. We pray for those tackling the climate change challenges of our time and for our own response in our day-to-day lives. Lord, hear our prayer and draw us all closer to you. We pray for all who are pushed to their limits at work and at home, for intensive care staff, for all in the emergency services, for GPs, teachers and school staff, for parents and students, for all whose mental health is at breaking point. We pray for our government and all whose decisions affect millions of lives. And we pray for one another as we respond to the restrictions locally and nationally. Lord, hear our prayer and draw us all closer to you. We pray for those whose businesses are closed, whose shops are locked up, whose rooms have no guests, for those whose money is running out, for those on the brink of despair. Lord, hear our prayer and draw us all closer to you. We pray for your church, entrusted with the good news of Jesus and charged with serving all those in need. We pray for hospital chaplains, for those ministering to the bereaved, and for one another as we seek to share our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ. Lord, hear our prayer and draw us all closer to you. Amen.
Our final hymn. I, the Lord of sea and sky, here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord?
Thank you.
Lord of the ages, you are our beginning and our end. Everlasting God, we place our days within your care. For your faithfulness in the past, we thank you. For your constant care, we praise you. For our future in your love, we place ourselves into your keeping and offer our lives for your service. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon us and all whom we love, this day and always. Amen.